The 70th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor was just a couple weeks ago. Coming up in February, a much less noted anniversary, the internment of Japanese Americans. It is noted by George Takei. Now, you may know him from TV shows like Super Ninjas, Heroes, and, of course, as Sulu, the helmsman of the Starship Enterprise in the Star Trek films and TV series.
Resume course to our next destination, Mr. Sulu.
Course laid in, sir.
Steady as she goes.
But George Takei is also a fierce advocate for memorializing what happened after February 1942. George and 120,000 other Japanese Americans were ordered to leave their homes on the West Coast after President Roosevelt signed an order declaring the land a military zone. That was interpreted as meaning, for security purposes, all Japanese Americans had to be relocated. They were told only to take what they could carry and report to relocation camps. It was on an April day that George Takei's family left their Los Angeles home and business. We asked what he remembered.
I had just turned 5 years old, and my parents had packed hurriedly the night before, and I was looking out the front window, and I saw two soldiers come marching up our driveway. They had bayonets on their rifle. It glinted in the sun. And they stomped up our front porch and then banged on the front door. And my father answered the door, and they ordered us out. And we were put on a truck. There were people milling around across the street from us. They were waiting for us to be taken away so that they can loot our home.
Well, and you and your family first went to a temporary camp at the Santa Anita racetrack. Do I understand that all five of you lived in a horse stall?
We were taken to a horse stall. We were going to sleep there in that smelly, narrow space. For my parents, it was the most degrading, most humiliating experience in their lives up to that point. But for me, when my parents told me that we were going to sleep there, I thought it was kind of fun. From the horse stables, we were there for about 3 months. We were going to be transferred. And my father told me that we were going on a long vacation to a place called Arkansas. And that sounded exotic to me. But when we were put on a train with other Japanese Americans from San Anita racetrack, it was a grueling, long, long trip. But my mother had this great big huge duffel bag that she filled with storybooks and Cracker Jacks and candies. And so I remember that huge duffel bag as a wonderful part of our luggage that we carried. We could take only what we could carry. And my mother apparently thought that she needed to have all that for our imprisonment.
And you know what I want to do, George Takei? I want to bring in another person into this conversation because she's the reason we're having it. Emiko Tamagawa is sitting here with me. She's a producer here on Here and Now. She also happens to be the biggest sci-fi geek in the world. Sorry, Emiko. but is also a Japanese-American. And I don't know. You think this is fair to say, Emiko? You also have questions about what this was like. And so if you don't mind, George, Emiko, go ahead. What would you want to ask about?
What I've read, I mean, it was a lot of barracks living, communal living, right next to each other, no sense of privacy.
I remember the barbed wire fence that we were told not to go near, and I remember the sentry towers that had machine guns pointed at us, and I remember the searchlight that followed me when I made the night runs from our barrack to the latrine. But, you know, a child is an amazingly adaptable person. All that became normality for me. It became normal for me to line up 3 times a day to eat in a noisy mess hall where everybody complained about the food. It became normal for me to go with my father to bathe in a mass shower. I started school in the Arkansas camp called Roar, and they taught us the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. So as I recited that, I could see the barbed wire fence and the sentry tower right outside our schoolhouse window as I recited the words, "With liberty and justice for all." It all became normality.
Yeah. Well, George Takei, it's Robin again. And I just want to jump in here to say that you were at that camp in Arkansas, and then you were sent to a higher security internment camp back in California because of a form that everyone was asked to fill out. It's like an oath everyone was asked to swear to in the camps. How were
they? Well, let me, before you get too far on this, let me give you some background behind that questionnaire, which was called the Loyalty Questionnaire. When Pearl Harbor was bombed, young Japanese Americans, like all Americans, rushed to their recruitment centers to volunteer to serve in the military. They were rejected as enemy non-aliens. Now, what is a non-alien? That's a citizen. They couldn't even call us citizens. But then a year into internment, the government realized that there was a manpower shortage in the military. And here were all these young men and women of military service age. And so they had to determine how we can tap this manpower. And so they came down with this questionnaire, which was something like about 40 questions. There were two key questions, question 27 and 28. And this questionnaire had to be responded to by everyone in camp over 17 years of age. Question 27 asked, will you bear arms to defend the United States of America? This being asked of a 17-year-old young man or a 70-year-old immigrant lady. It was preposterous. Question 28 was one sentence, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is essentially it. Will you swear your loyalty to the United States of America and forswear your loyalty to the Emperor of Japan? It was that one sentence that threw Japanese Americans into outrage, because the word forswear assumes that you have an existing loyalty to the Emperor. So the government assumed just because we are of Japanese ancestry, there's an inborn loyalty to the Emperor. So if you answered no, meaning I don't have a loyalty to the Emperor to forswear, you were also saying no to the first part. Hmm. I will swear my loyalty to the United States.
Impossible. It's an impossible.
Outrageous. Yeah. If you answered yes, meaning I do swear my loyalty to the United States, you were confessing that you had been loyal to the Emperor, thus justifying the internment. My parents said, you know, my father said, they took my business, they took our home, they took our freedom, but the one thing I'm not going to give them is my dignity. I'm not going to grovel before this government. And in outrage, they both responded no. Because of that, they were labeled disloyals. That was the reason why we were transferred from the camp in Arkansas to the camp in Northern California.
Actor George Takei, who also told us that many young Japanese Americans signed up for service in World War II. Many were assigned to the 442nd Infantry, which became the most highly decorated regiment in military history. Others who didn't want to report unless their families were released from internment camps were arrested and imprisoned as draft dodgers. Just ahead, how much do Japanese American families talk about all of this today? That's in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. On the 60s series Star Trek, George Takei played Sulu, who helmed the ship and had a number of side interests, including fencing. In this scene, Sulu explains some of the equipment.
Foil. It's a rapier. A thin sword.
All right. So what do you do with it?
What do you mean, what do you do with it?
Self-defense? Mayhem? Shish kebab?
Your practice.
But our conversation with George Takei is about his real-life memories of being interned with his family and other Japanese Americans during the Second World War. Something of personal interest to Here and Now producer Emiko Tamagawa, who joined us in the conversation.
Let me ask, Emiko, were you interned? Are you of that age?
She's a baby.
Actually, my family was not. My family actually was in Japan at the time, but a close family friend of ours was actually interned.
I didn't think so. You sound too young.
Yeah. For me, it's always been this idea of, you know, what if, that within my memory this had happened to people exactly like me.
How would you feel?
Yeah, because I was born in the United States, as were the majority of people who were interned.
What is the answer to that? Because that's what I'm feeling from you, Emiko, that you want to know, you know, how do you feel about this now so many years later, George? I mean, isn't that what you're saying?
Well, let me tell you how my father, who experienced that, summed it up for me. When I was a teenager, in school you take your civics classes, you read about our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I knew what had happened to us was wrong. You know, when you're a teenager, you're very arrogant. And I peppered my father with a lot of questions about the internment. And we had some strong differences. I said I would have gathered my friends and we would have demonstrated, you know, that whole syndrome. My father said, despite everything that we went through, despite all our losses, American democracy is still the best form of government that we have in the world. But both the strength and the weakness of American democracy lies in the fact that it's a true people's democracy, and it can be as great as a people can be, but it's also as fallible as people are. And that's why good people have to be active participants in this participatory democracy. It was my father's influence that made me who I am today, my activism in the political arena, whether it be for civil rights for African Americans, and I was engaged in that movement.
Gay rights as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's the current issue.
You know, it's such recent history, and we look around us now, and we are surrounded by Asians, you know, coming to school here, you know, three or four generations into living here. And I always wondered, you said, George, that you talked to your father about this. In some communities that have seen something like this, I'm thinking of, you know, Holocaust survivors, for instance, it's never mentioned. It's just not spoken of. You try to move on. That has happened in some families. Was this something that you were conscious of as you grew up, or did you try to put it behind you? How does that happen?
Japanese Americans don't like to talk about unpleasant things, shameful things, and particularly one that wounded them.
Emiko's nodding and smiling, but you were going to say...
Yes, the legacy of silence that we have in our community. My father was remarkable, I think, and I was blessed in having him because he did engage me in conversation. And in fact, let me describe one scene. I'm a former chairman of the board of the Japanese American National Museum and a current trustee. And I like roaming around the museum. And on one particular day, I was roaming around, and there was a small family group in the internment camp gallery. And there was an old man and a middle-aged man and two preteen young boys. And going through the internment camp gallery, the kids were asking, "Grandpa, how did you feel? Grandpa, what did you do? Grandpa, why?" And Grandpa was sharing with his grandson, and the son, the father of the boys, was saying, "Gee, Dad, I never knew that. Gee, Dad, you never told me that." It was very revealing to me. The grandfather could not share with his own son because it was too painful.
Right.
And so we are now making this effort, the next generation is making this effort to not only educate all of America on the failure of American democracy during wartime hysteria, but also young Japanese Americans about what happened to their grandparents and their parents.
We'll get a lot of conversations going. But George Takei, before we let you go, I just have to mention one thing. One other effect of the internment is that it would be a long time, you know, post-war, 50s, 60s, it'd be a long time before we'd see Japanese Americans in roles such as you had. You know, they've been sort of knocked back so much. And Emiko, what it did mean to you to be watching Star Trek? She watched Star Trek all the time. And to see this character, Sulu.
Well, I have to admit, when I was young, I had a crush on Sulu. I mean, because it was really, he was one, like the one character, he was cool, he fenced, you know, he knew botany. I mean, it was like the one character who was Asian on TV who wasn't someone's housekeeper.
Yeah.
And it
really... Let me tell you, you have high standards and great taste.
Well, but are you aware? I mean, you must be aware of that. You must have heard that from other Japanese Americans, especially post-war.
Chinese Americans and Korean Americans have said to me, it was one of the most exciting things for them to be watching television and seeing an Asian American talking without an accent, not a servant, not an enemy, but a full professional as part of the leadership team of the Starship Enterprise.
That's George Takei, of course, actor, but also talking about being one of 120,000 Japanese interned during World War II. George, thanks so much.
Great talking with you.
And by the way, George Takei is working on a Broadway piece about internment with Miss Saigon star Lea Salonga. We'll keep you posted on that. But do you or does someone in your family have memories of that time? We'd love to hear them, and we'll forward them to him. Go to hereandnow.org. Again, we'd love to hear it, and we'll forward it to him for his research. Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Philips Healthcare, dedicated to improving access, managing costs, and helping clinicians improve care globally at philips.com/healthcare. And the Institute of Contemporary Art, Boston, presenting Dance Draw, an exploration of art and performance on view now, icaboston.org.